Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We're a comedic, social, and current events podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, giving you a look inside the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world with our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
Hail.
Thank you. You're a good man. V, I like you. Mm-hmm. Ali, fuck you. Yes, you can find this podcast on iTunes and currentlynerdy.com. So please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and share our page and podcast to all your friends, family members, and loved ones. Because remember, folks, you don't truly love someone until you have spread the gospel of Currently Nerdy. Hallelujah. Holla back, little homie. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. We are your hosts of this wonderful, amazing Academy Award nominated.
It's not even, we're not even in the field.
Nominated.
Completely not even in the field.
Webby winning podcast. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd, which means I can tell you that there are possible rumors that Drake and Riri are now a thing.
What, because of the award thing? He said he had a crush on her since he was 20 or some shit?
Yeah, he's trying to get in them sheets.
Yeah, but there's no evidence of that.
I don't know, but there's rumors.
Isn't he with Serena Williams or
nope,
something?
Nope, they broke up.
Oh, they broke up?
He started from the bottom, and now he's in the friend zone.
Why do they call her Riri, by the way?
Rihanna? Riri?
There's no double R's in Rihanna's name.
Oh, man, she fucking calls herself Bad Gal Riri on Twitter.
Yeah.
And
she also gets away with going, nah, man, 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 man.
And I can, I can also tell you that Antonio Romero Romo is out for 6 to 10 weeks with a broken back. And my dreams and aspirations as a Cowboys fan are now broken.
Did you cry when it happened?
This is football.
I didn't cry. We're going to jack it up,
didn't
baby.
What's his name? Your boyfriend win MMA?
Conor McGregor?
Conor McGregor.
Didn't he win?
McGregor.
He won a decision.
He won a decision against fucking Nate Diaz, motherfucker. Stop.
Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
Yeah, he won, motherfucker.
It's actually considered like one of the best fights of the year, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, motherfuckers. The king is back. And now, to the bald man who will try to put you to sleep or not put you. Don't hit me.
Well, I've never put anybody to sleep in my
Sure, you haven't.
Ever.
Okay, go ahead. Take it away,
my
bald
name
man.
Is Ali A. Lomi. I'm the classic nerd of the group. I like to bring you various background information about the topics that we discuss. V.
Good evening, friends. This is V. Tran, your comic book travel, et cetera, nerd. I cover all the things that Lee and Diz do not.
Speaking of traveling, you've come back from a voyage to the motherland?
The motherland, yes.
It's racist as hell.
Yeah, I know.
Like, all Asians are the same to him.
Seriously.
He went to the Orient.
Oh.
Wow. Did he not? Wow. The Mystic Orient.
Listen, you're on the other side of the table right now, Diz, but eventually you won't be.
What is that supposed to mean?
And
first of all,
is that a veiled threat?
It's not a veiled threat at all. I'm going to fucking beat your ass.
He was in Thailand and the Philippines.
Yeah.
Oh.
Philippines is Southeast Asia.
Brown Asians.
Them the brown Asians. You racist. You were so
Pacific
dumb.
Islanders.
Are they Pacific so Islanders?
Yeah.
The Thai Pacific Islanders?
The Thai aren't, but the Philippines.
The Thai aren't. No, the Thai are like are Southeast Asian.
But they're brown.
And then not all of them.
Sagat was brown. He's from Thailand.
Incidentally, I actually went to that temple of the reclining Buddha where you
Which
fight
Sagat.
Which
one was Sagat, by the way?
Sagat was, he was the Muay Thai fighter, was bald with the eye patch.
Tiger punch.
Yeah, with like tiger kick, tiger uppercut.
Tiger uppercut.
Tiger kick was actually a Joe Higashi thing from Fatal
Fury,
excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he was before Bison, but he was like the Street Fighter 1 main boss. And then Ryu beats him up and gives him a scar on his chest.
Yeah.
And then Bison becomes the Street Fighter 2 main boss.
Yeah.
At Sagat's stage, he's fighting in front of a giant reclining Buddha.
Remember that.
And I actually went to, was it Wat Po, which was the actual temple where that reclining Buddha is.
Wat Po?
Yeah. Which is really cool. I'm a big fan of the of Thai religious art, the aesthetics of it, the way that they do their demons and all that other stuff. And, you know, that's all like the...
Did you get a Thai massage?
Actually, I did.
Like, is it... Do they give you a happy ending or they attempt to?
No, it's don't be stupid.
Well, Russell Peters said that they do it with like their elbows or their forearms.
Their what?
Yeah, like if they can't use their hands, so they do it with their forearms.
What? Why can't they use their hands? Is there a law against
it? It's a law against jerking off your client. So
I didn't know that. I thought Thailand that was perfectly acceptable in Thailand.
Yeah. Did they try?
No, I didn't do like the hardcore massage, like the full body. I went into like one of those massage chairs, and you're just like laying up, and you're in like a room. and there's like eight people in like eight different chairs.
Those are street massages. So you can like as you walk down.
Yeah.
You know what you need to do?
I also did the, you know, if you go to, there's a place called Yao Rat Road, which is like their Chinatown, which is like known for like some of the best street food in the area. And I went gluttonous all over the place on that, all sorts of stuff. But they also have those, like the massage parlors where you put your, you dip your feet into the fish tank and the fish like eat your calluses and all that stuff. And like, it like smooths out all your skin and exfoliates.
I heard, is this true in Thailand that they also have massages in the bathrooms? That when you go to a nightclub, this isn't a shady thing. It's like you, as you pee and wash your hands, someone comes about massages your hand, your shoulders.
As you're peeing?
As you're, and as you wash your hands, and then they would give you a wet towel, a hot wet towel, and spray some cologne.
Well, that's like, okay, so like the bathroom concierge thing, that's something that you can find in a lot of clubs, like a lot of higher end stuff.
In Thailand or anywhere?
No, anywhere.
Like there's something unique about it because they involve massage.
Yeah, I
bathroom concierge, I mean, I'm not stupid. I know they existed. But it's that in Thailand, what's unique about it is that they have a massage culture in the bathroom.
See, I didn't go to any nightclubs, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want no dudes touching me as I'm peeing drunk at a club.
This is like, it's supposed to be, it was like,
incidentally, that's actually that's not exactly a correct statement, because women go into the men's bathroom all the time to clean and everything, and you know, men just use the bathroom, the women just clean.
No, I know, but like if I'm peeing and I'm drunk, I don't want like somebody massaging me. Like, fuck off, burn. Let me aim my.
I don't think they're gonna be touching you while your dick is out. They'll probably. Like,
I don't know, man. It's Thailand. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, this motherfucker! I swear to God.
I watched The Hangover 2. There's trannies everywhere, is what I've heard.
Wow! 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 First of all,
is that politically incorrect?
First of all, it's transsexual.
Oh, well, did you run into any of those?
I knew that was coming.
Yeah,
it was just a matter of time.
Actually,
This is horribly offensive.
Like, how does it work? Is it, do they have like ladyboy shows or what?
No, I didn't.
I don't know. I'm asking. This is research.
When I ran when I ran into a transsexual, it was usually they were serving me at a restaurant.
Oh.
Or you know they were just working.
Well,
and
how did
they
you know they were a transsexual?
You can tell.
Was their dick out?
No.
So this is the ignorance in me asking these questions. So if I ever go to Thailand, I know what to expect. Like, hey, I'm at a restaurant and some.
I find it a little bit annoying that people assume that just because someone is transsexual, that somehow they're like overly sexed or depraved in some way. So they assume like.
But like.
Well, I mean, I think the assumption is not that the transsexuals are over sexual because of their sex, it's because they're prostitutes. Yeah. The issue is that they're assuming all transsexuals are prostitutes.
Yeah, that's fucked up, man.
I'm just asking questions.
This is a fetishization of transsexuals.
This is me trying to become cultured, all right? Like, I'm asking my cultural anthropologist here things so I could learn, and I could learn other cultures through the anthropologist.
You're an ignorant bastard, you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, you literally asked him if someone's dick was out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're learning from that. I think it's just offensive.
I just want to know, man.
It's offensive on so many different levels. I don't even know how
like,
to...
If I were eating and someone's dick is out, I don't know if I want to eat there anymore.
Why on earth...
I don't know, man. Maybe is that kind of thing.
Is that a common occurrence around you that people are sitting around eating and their genitalia are out?
This is why I asked, because he said they were serving him at restaurants. And like, I don't know how he would know. Like, aren't they, like, their surgery's pretty well there?
Yeah, okay, well, here's a...
Well, remember, the transsexuals include pre-op and post-op.
Yeah.
It's a spectrum.
And also, it's a process. Like, it's not like you become a woman overnight, biologically speaking. I mean, yes, if you choose to be a woman, you're a woman, but I mean...
Here we are, three cis men talking about transsexuals. This is offensive. This is deeply offensive.
Why? I'm just
pointing out that if it was a CNN panel,
we're not a CNN panel. We're a CN panel.
About you know, Muslims, and they had nothing but white Christians on there. Someone would be like, "That's offensive."
Yeah, it'd be you. I'd be like, "Ah, I wonder what these white people have to say. They look educated."
You were the one that brought it up. Shit.
I just want to know, man. I've seen The Hangover, and there's like saying, "It's Bangkok, honey." You know, like, is that?
Oh.
Are there shows like that there? Probably.
There's a
what kind of nightlife did you do while you were there?
Sex culture.
Is there a sex? Is there a big sex culture in Thailand?
Oh,
the sex tourism.
Yeah, like the sex. Yeah, like.
Look, I'm gonna share a story with you guys. While you were in Thailand, my friend Paul was in Thailand. He went there with his girlfriend. he told me he went to a ping pong show. And I was like, what is that? You saw two people playing ping pong? He said, no, I went to a strip club and a lady was shooting ping pongs out of her vagina. And I was like,
yeah, that is a thing.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
It's an actual thing.
I was like, wait, what? She was shooting ping pongs out of her vagina? He's like, yeah. Like, they were just shooting out of her vagina.
The ping pong show is like the equivalent to, like, the donkey show in Mexico.
Wow. That's a thing, too?
Yeah, apparently. But also, it's one of those things where...
You said you've been to one of those. Yeah.
I've never been to a donkey show. Mustafa went to a donkey show. Yeah. It was different. Don't get me and him confused. I have a level of debauchery.
The only show I've ever been to is...
Hamilton?
No. It's Hamlet.
Hamilton. Oh, man. No, there was, there's actually, the thing about that is, yes, there are ping pong shows and all that shit out there, but more times than not, it ends up being a scam in the sense that, like, you know, say there's like these little, like, taxis called tuk-tuks.
Tuk-tuk?
Yeah, like, they're, like, open, and, like, there's no doors, like, a little, like, covered, like, mini truck thing.
Like a rickshaw-looking thing?
No, it's not like a rickshaw, right? Like, there's not a guy carrying, like, like a cart behind him. It's like a little mini car that has like a little back area where you can sit.
But a rickshaw is a mini car also.
Yeah.
In India, it's not a guy carrying it. It's literally a little bike thingy almost.
Yeah.
With something. Well,
there's like a motor. It's like a really small car, right? And, you know, I'll be walking around the street. They'll be like, well, you know, want to go to a ping pong show, this and that. And I'm going, I don't want to see that shit. Like, why the hell would I want to do that? And it comes, my cousin actually went a couple years ago.
You went to a ping pong show?
With like her and her friends.
Talk about putting his cousin on blast.
Yeah.
What's her name?
I don't know.
Stacy Wu?
She's actually, like, she's technically not a cousin because she's, like, some distant, you know, like...
He's disassociating. He's creating barriers. He's like,
my cousin Mustafa went to a donkey show in Mexico.
Like, Jesus Christ, he's getting married.
Yeah. You're the one who mentioned
it. Is he really getting married?
Yeah. Eventually.
Holy shit. Eventually.
To some dude in Connecticut.
No, so, Vermont. We established it was Vermont. Anyway.
Stop it, both of you.
So
shame on both of you.
I don't know, because she's like third removed. Is she still technically a cousin? Is that still
I don't know, man. In Afghan culture, even...
We don't actually have a word for like a second cousin.
Yeah, okay.
Or a third cousin. There's literally no word for it.
So
there's
either way, cousin. She was telling me, because I had asked people for suggestions when I went to Thailand. She said,
don't do it. Or
don't do it, because what happened to us last time is that... They offered to take us, and they took us. We went to some random bar, and they wouldn't let us leave until we paid them $1,000. So it was like this, the group got scammed into like getting stuck in this like random spot, you know. And it's not like, I mean, you know, going to an officer and be like, hey, listen, we're trying to find a ping pong show, and these guys scammed us into
not much you can do about it.
Yeah.
So what is one thing that you did that was very memorable? In Thailand.
Well, other than eating all the food, which
how do you not get sick, man?
One thing that you did that's memorable that stuck out.
One of the coolest things. I mean, obviously the temples, like the Jade Buddha temple out there was amazing, because this Jade Buddha, it's like this. It's called the Emerald Buddha because it's green. It's made out of jade. Mm. And what's crazy about it is that it was encased in plaster, and so they'd found it. Like under rubble and all this other stuff, and it was encased in plaster, and they'd put it on display. The plaster began to kind of like break away, and a guy noticed it, and he looked on like the nose, and he noticed there was green under it, and they pulled all the plaster out, and it was like pure jade, a purely jade carved Buddha.
Holy shit.
But they don't know why it was in plaster. They don't know why it was like it was hidden away, but it's considered Thailand's most sacred Buddha statue. And the cool thing about that is that they literally changed the dress on the Buddha depending on the season. So the Buddha will wear like an open cape on certain seasons, or like wear like a different type of shawl depending on what time of year it is, which is really awesome.
What is one thing you did that took you outside of your comfort zone? It's like something you did.
Ping pong show.
Yeah. Took you outside your comfort zone.
Well, you know,
or one thing that you would go to your grave not telling anyone. It's just There's just the three of us. No one's listening.
That's true. No one listens to this podcast. Okay.
It's just me and you.
What's that one thing? What did you do? Do you do anything exciting? Like, that we'd be like, there's no way V did that.
Yeah. Really? Something that we wouldn't think you did.
Yeah.
Not so much because I was there for work. I couldn't really do anything like crazy.
Did you go to Friday prayer?
No, like, no skydiving or anything like that?
I
can't see you skydiving ever.
Yeah, I'm not going to skydive. I refuse
bungee jumping. I can't see
you. No, I don't do falling.
You make a friend?
I think. I did make. I made a lot of friends, actually. So just like talking to people. Thai people are very friendly. People from the Philippines are super. Like, I've never met a nicer group of people when they're not shooting, you know, drug dealers and stuff. Yeah, but like,
can you, going on in can the Philippines you, yeah. right now.
Can you teach me a cuss word in Thai?
I don't know a cuss word in Thai.
Did you learn any in the Philippines?
Was it speaking English easy?
Apparently. So the Thai people, actually, they're required to take like an English class like once a year. So like they know a little bit of English. They don't really write it or they don't read it, but it's like they know
enough to sell a product or
pretty much because in Thailand. So we were at this place called the Siam Paragon Mall, and it's like it's probably the nicest mall in the world that I've ever seen. Everything is immaculately clean. They have everything there, and they have all the luxury car companies on display there. So McLaren's there, Rolls Royce, all that other stuff. And this is where like the big money in Thailand always goes. So everything there is like uberly expensive. I will say, like, you know, one of the coolest things is getting a suit tailored there, like being able to do that stuff, like, you know, that's which funny. Is awesome.
Go ahead, yeah. Tell them what you did.
Come on, Lloyd Christmas.
So I, you know, I'm not afraid to say that, you know, I am prone to impulse buying. So I went to a tailor.
Chips up.
And I had them actually make me a long coat tailed like tuxedo jacket. But it was like this like light steel blue color.
Baby blue is the
color. Yeah, like baby blue. Powder like
blue.
And the coattails like go great. Like right behind my knees. And it's like a single breasted, like it's all tailored to my specifications and shit.
Are you gonna get pants to match it?
I didn't get pants. I thought it'd look stupid if I did. So
really? You thought the pants pants is where you drew the line.
Do you have a top hat?
Oh yeah, I have a white top hat for my day man outfit. From
you drew the line at pants.
I did. I refused.
He's got a white top hat. He's got the blue long
coat. No pants.
Dude, go get some pants.
What's wrong with you?
I will eventually. I got a bunch of shirts tailored too, which is great. I had the old Asian lady sitting there with the tape measure. You know. Like, all right, that's a really cool experience. Getting a suit tailored is actually a really cool experience.
It's a very fun experience.
Yeah, yeah. And it only cost me $100, so I really can't complain too much. Like, it was an amazing. It's like, you can't even buy a. You can't
go to Thailand to get it.
Yeah, the frugal V finds a way to get something that's like $1,000 here for $100.
Well, what's even crazy is like.
Getting something tailored here is not that expensive.
No, but like getting like your own custom jacket.
Yeah,
like
I chose. Custom
jacket is.
But I chose the inlining.
And hemmed here pretty cheap.
Yeah, like $10.
Yeah, but you know, choosing the fabric, the inlining, all the specifications, like all that stuff. It's like you can't, for $100, you really can't beat that. I mean, for God's sakes, you go to like Express or something, and even their like regular sport coat's like $200, and that's without it being fitted. So, you know, I got a bunch of like collared shirts made too, and all this other stuff, which is absolutely amazing. And then the Philippines was, unfortunately for the Philippines, it was like the air that in Manila.
How hot was it?
Oh, like it was horrible. Like even both countries, it was actually cooler in Manila, or in the Philippines, but in Thailand, it was like
muggy.
The hottest day was like just over 90 degrees Fahrenheit, but it was also 85% humidity.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's the humidity that kills people.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Paul was telling me, he's like, it's shit.
It is horrible.
You feel like you're just air is sweating.
Yeah, it's like walking through clay, like trying to like walk around the city. But that's what's like, the street food is amazing there. It's like super cheap, but you know, you may be paying $1 for your dinner, but you're sitting outside in plastic furniture with that type of weather, and that's kind of what the trade off is.
So there's no air conditioning.
Well, in the buildings, there's tons of it. But if you're eating street food, you're not.
You're a brave person. Street food, man. That's dangerous stuff.
That's the thing about Thailand that I didn't realize, and this is what's really interesting about it, is because I talked to someone about it. They go, the tap water that they use, because a lot of times when you eat fresh, like I don't eat fresh vegetables when I travel because the water it's washed in usually is just not something that our stomachs are used to. The thing about that though is that there's actually governmentally speaking. They're like, you can shower and you can brush your teeth and all that other stuff with the tap water, but you're not supposed to consume it. So bottled water out there is extremely cheap, and all the food and everything is cooked with filtered bottled water. So
I mean, it's not just the water, man. I mean, that's the thing, right? Street food, just going to Mexico getting street food, tear you up a new one. It's because we're so sheltered.
But I don't even get street food from like Santa Ana.
I mean, like here in the United States. We have such a weak immune system and digestive system because we've like shot everything to death.
So well, yeah, like, I mean, like pasteurization and all that stuff.
So there is
like,
no, like the natural kind of bacteria that comes in with food that normal people have that they can just kind of deal with, we don't. And so as a result, when we Americans travel, we can't drink the water, right? Which most people can't do. But even food, street food, fucks us up.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't get sick ever.
I did. In Morocco, I got sick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were telling us that. You were, like, puking and shit.
Yeah. I mean, and
you also got sick in South America.
In Chile?
In Chile, I didn't get sick, no.
Yeah, did you get sick in Argentina? No, you didn't.
Peru, I think you got sick. One of those places.
No, Peru, I got altitude poisoning.
Oh, you got altitude poisoning
or sickness or
what
whatever.
What the hell is altitude poisoning?
So it's like once, because, you know, we live on the coastline. So, and once you go higher in elevation, the air thins out.
Yeah.
So, and there's a point where when I was in the city called Puno, which is the only other city in the world that's higher than that is Tibet. So it was like 4,000 meters above sea level. Well, air was too thin and my body's not used to it. So I couldn't adapt to it particularly well. So I had to get attached to an oxygen tank for like a minute to like get enough oxygen in my body. And that happened to me when I was, and then I got seasickness when I went to the Galapagos Islands because the boats were all like, they were little yachts.
I got like super lightheaded and like dizzy when I was hiking up Mount Baker in Seattle or in Washington.
It might be called the cigarettes.
Oh, that probably too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically what it is.
I'm on a hike.
You've been walking for 3 minutes.
Sorry. I did 15,000 steps on my Fitbit that day. I felt good about myself. I need to get you a Fitbit. Yeah. I heard you had to give someone CPR as well.
I didn't have to give him CPR, but on my plane ride back, I was going from Manila to Japan.
Uh-huh.
And this elderly Japanese man like got up and he went to the bathroom. My seat was like right next to the bathroom and he just fainted, like he fell.
Did you say something?
Yeah, of course. I was like, "Stewardess!" Like,
what? No, that's feminist.
I know. It was a woman though, so it was like,
sexist.
I didn't even notice him faint because I had my earphones in and I was watching Captain America: Civil War. And I was going like, "Ooh, Tony Stark, you piece of shit! I hate you!" You know, and then all of a sudden I heard a thump, and I looked over, and there's this like skinny Japanese guy, and he's like, he's just laying there.
Eyes open, looking at you. I was like, what you gonna do?
Yeah, I was like, holy shit.
Medic.
It's like, I killed the man. What did I do?
Did
like,
someone else see it too, or is it just you?
Yeah, well, because obviously in the aisle, the other person on the other side, and it was this
what Japanese did everyone lady, do?
And she just kind of stared at me, and I went, holy shit. So I like tried to give him, like to put the pillow under his neck, and I was like screaming for the
flight attendant.
Yeah, stewardess is an old school world. Yeah, that's an old George Carlin thing, right? Yeah. And like he's all like... What was it like? What they keep going to the cockpit?
Yeah,
you know, like, it's like a really weird stand-up. You should look it up. Anyway,
wow. What are you drinking today?
It was the airline announcement. It's my favorite George Carlin bit, actually.
V, you're on one, bro.
So the lady comes, the flight attendant lady, stewardess, you know, like lady on the plane.
The plane lady.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Said that complicated. Yeah, like, flight attendant.
God. Damn it, V. So what did she do?
Huh?
What did she do?
I don't remember. No, I'm only kidding. So she came up there and she was like checking his pulse and making sure he was okay. And then all the other flight attendants came over, you know, and they gave him water and they were making sure that he was all right.
Ooh, question.
Yeah.
Did anyone yell, is there a doctor on board?
No.
Damn it. That's the first thing I would have yelled.
Well, if they did, they yelled it in Japanese because I didn't understand it.
I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, a doctor.
A doctor of philosophy.
Yeah. I played a doctor on TV.
It was a plane full of Asian people.
Wait a minute.
It was a plane full of Asian people. So
he
didn't die.
What did he die of?
He didn't die.
As far as you know,
he
could have landed in Tokyo and died.
Wait, how far were you from Japan?
What do you mean? Like, how far away was I?
From landing.
I was like...
When he fainted.
Yeah.
Oh, I was only like an hour into the flight, so...
So he could have died when he arrived in Japan. For all you know, he could have died of Zika.
I saw him walk out of the plane, so he was okay at that point.
Yeah, like, the Zika, bro?
Yeah, well, he was walking to the bathroom fine, and then suddenly he fainted. So by that logic, happen anyway. Wait a minute, what did he die of? Seriously.
Yeah.
What did he have?
Airborne diseases do you have?
Yeah, what happened to him? What did he faint for no reason?
I don't know. I was watching Captain America: Civil War.
This is the thing that makes me nervous, right? Is that V travels all over the world. I don't know what type of SARS, Mesa, Zika, you know, shit that he has.
Bro, he goes to different countries.
You're a petri dish. You're the outbreak monkey.
Mm.
I know that somehow in this apartment, tomorrow Diz is gonna call me up and he's gonna have like the bubonic plague. It's like, what the fuck? Where did you get the bubonic plague from?
V.
Well, V was in India today. It's like, wait, what?
That's horrible.
I'm just saying, it's like the amount of travel that you do.
Why you let him into your house?
You're I don't know. I really don't know why I let you in my house. Someone give me the Lysol spray. I'm gonna spray him.
Some human biological weapon.
You're a human. You are literally the outbreak monkey.
Well, you let me in here and I have syphilis.
Yes, but yours is sexually contracted. There ain't no way that's spreading around this apartment.
How you doing?
But he could just cough on something.
How do you know, man? How do you know when you're not in the bathroom, I don't go around rubbing my dick all over your
upholstery? Yo, I don't use that bathroom.
No, when you're in the bathroom, I don't go around rubbing my dick on all your upholstery.
You don't.
I bleach that shit. He's the one that thinks that people pull their dicks out during dinners.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know, like, who taught you table manners? But they should be ashamed of themselves. Whoever taught you table manners? When the soup comes, you pull out your genitals. Mm-hmm. Hold on a minute. I'm not sure that that's how civilized people have their meal.
So you checking the soup too cold or not?
Oh no. Love of Christ. This isn't right. Think of the children, Diz. Think of the children.
I hope there's no children listening. Seriously.
I'm sure that we're going to get some kids eventually. Like, they're going to be like, oh my God, Diz is talking about pulling his dick out.
I'm putting it in the soup.
Why?
Did you hear about the McChicken hashtag on Twitter?
No, okay. What happened?
What?
Oh, so fucked up.
Are they like 2 for 1?
I know. I saw an article on it. And this speaks to how viral things can or viral marketing. It's the McChicken hashtag went huge because it went viral. Because there is a video of some dude fucking a McChicken.
Why was he doing Twitter? That to a McChicken?
I don't know.
This is why
I read the article today, and it's just like,
as if you needed any more crazy reasons not to eat McDonald's.
Yeah,
some dude's fucking.
It's just
a
video of a dude fucking a McChicken.
Didn't you watch that video?
Yeah, why'd you watch it?
I saw the article on it, and I was like, oh, don't click on the hashtag McChicken thing because there's a dude fucking a McChicken on there.
Pretty sure he clicked it.
It was on Forbes.com.
Like, no, it's official. It's at Forbes.com.
It was on Forbes.
Can you imagine the guy who has to write that article? Yeah. Or the girl who has to write that article? They're sitting down like, what has my life come to? I wanted to be a journalist, and I'm writing about dude fucking a McChicken.
Yeah.
It's like they have to actually put the details in there.
Man inserts McChicken into his, or inserts penis.
No chickens were harmed in the making McChicken of this video.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was that chicken was harmed before.
Yeah.
So is that technically necrophilia?
Right. Does he create his own mayonnaise?
What is it called when you have sex with food? There's a word for it when you have sex with food, isn't it?
There's
a type of philia for it.
Yeah, of course, there's a philia for everything.
I don't know. I've never put my dick inside a McChicken before.
Yeah, I've heard of a lot of things in my day, but
I heard Cleopatra used to have like a little thing of squash that she emptied out and would put like bees in it and use it as a vibrator.
Who said that?
I saw it on some article about the history of vibrators.
So what kind of Flintstones type shit is that?
It's a myth.
See, he's the historian. He would tell me if it's true.
That's a story. So people have said that story before.
See?
It's a myth.
I didn't just make
you
it
want
up
a real good story. Catherine the Great had sex with a horse.
Who?
Catherine the Great.
Which one is that?
Russian.
Russian monarch.
Yeah.
Yes, but
she banged the horse?
She banged a horse.
Was she like Mr. Happy Hands or some shit?
I don't know. I think she got lonely and then she created some type of device.
Maybe her servants created
a device.
So for her to bang a horse?
So she could have sex with a horse.
That's a fucking...
I mean, that also is probably a myth that was created by her enemies, but I mean, we historians still talk about it.
That's insane, man.
She did a horse.
Is it her patriotic duty?
Yeah, maybe she thought it was the Norse god Loki.
She's Russian.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that's what happens when you know when the privileged get a hold of things.
Maybe
she thought
it was Zeus.
No, Zeus
literally, if you write Catherine the Great, Google
fuck the horse.
The first word is Catherine the Great horse. Not Catherine the Great of Russia. That's number two. Number one is Catherine the Great horse.
I love the fact that this is the interesting about Google searches now. It's like people don't want to put the whole thing because they don't want to look creepy. So they go, what are the words that I can put in there?
I refuse to put in. I don't Google all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
Someone sent me a link just recently and it had the word raw in it. And I'm like, I fell for this before. I'm not clicking on it.
It had the word raw in it?
It had the word raw in it. And I think it was just a GIF, but I'm like, I'm not clicking it.
Well, like a dude like spinning his dick around like a helicopter?
I don't
see, like, I don't know what's wrong with you.
I've gotten that GIF. Someone sent me that.
Oh God!
They're like, President Obama did what? And I clicked it, and it was you spin me right.
This is the old days of message. Those were the old days of
trolling people, IRC and all that.
Yeah,
shit.
Back in the day of those and
getting Rickrolled.
Rickrolled, yeah.
Got Rickrolled with the
penis. I used to get Rickrolled so many times. I hated it. And the reason why I got Rickrolled so much, I actually enjoy the song a lot.
It's a good song.
I love Rick.
Got that blue-eyed soul thing going on,
He's a little short British guy, and he's got the soul of a black man.
I remember when we used to do Shitty Song of the Week on this podcast. Yeah. That was one of our first Shitty Songs of the Week.
Yeah. I happen to like Rick Astley.
Our first one was William Hung.
Yeah, shebang, shebang.
Oh God! Well, Catherine the Great certainly banged.
She banged that horse.
She did,
and that's the beauty of it, right? It's like somehow that's her legacy for people.
Well, I mean, it's an urban legend. We have no idea if she legitimately did it or not.
Yeah, I doubt that there's any
I don't think there was any. There was an archivist sitting there, like,
can you check the vaginal records
today? You know,
Virgil's writing.
Well, this is the same thing with the emperors, right? There's always like a historian, and then there's always that historian, the one that writes like he's like the National Enquirer of historians,
the TMZ historian.
Yes, like in the Roman times, there was real serious history. There was Tacitus, right?
Yeah.
White people call him Tacitus, right?
What's that?
Tacitus. He wrote the Annals of the History of Rome, right? So it's like very serious. You know, where Rome came from. Mm-hmm. And then there's Suetonius, who wrote 12 Caesars, and it's all about who's fucking who and who's cheating on who. It's nothing, literally, it's nothing but gossip. It's like it's trash. You pick up Suetonius.
See, it doesn't matter.
Guess what? Suetonius sells better than Tacitus does.
It's there's no secret that, you know, sleaze, no matter what time.
All the stories,
period, right?
like we get about poisoning people and people sleeping with, you know, incest, all that comes from Suetonius. All that Roman emperor stuff that we get from the first 12 Caesars, that's all Suetonius. He's just, all he did was collect all the gossip. So there's two types of historians. There's always two. There's the one doing serious work, and then there's that one.
Are there any historians like that in your department?
That do the gossip stuff? The gossip stuff.
Yeah, I know, but I mean,
we just do it on the side. Yeah, right. We do serious work, and like, did you hear?
No,
I was in the archives.
Yeah, Ali Saga, have you heard about Ali Abar Babakar?
I'm sorry. You tried to say an Arabic word and you had a seizure.
It's like God smited me.
He tried to name a caliph and he had a fucking seizure.
You heard about Ali and Abu Bakr and their beef, you know?
Damn,
they
dude.
Had a problem. They were fighting over Khadija.
I think that was a sign right there. You need to get your life sorted
got
out.
Smited by God.
You fucking had a seizure on air.
So that story.
Are you tasting copper in your throat?
He's getting a stroke. How's your left arm?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Your face. There's nothing wrong with your face.
That's normal.
So was that like a modern day like thing going viral? Catherine fucking a horse would be like,
no,
the dude
she was
fucking
a
McChicken.
This was stories. This was a story that happened back then. The problem nowadays is that when you fuck a horse, there's now a record of it because dumbasses want to tweet it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is why the dude fucks a chicken. Chicken McNicken.
What a McChicken.
I'm confused. I was the one having a seizure.
I was saying McChicken for a while. And then you know why? Because in my mind, I thought he was fucking Chicken McNugget. That's when I asked you. I was like, wait, why? How did he do that? It's because I'm thinking of a McNugget. I didn't realize it was a sandwich. I didn't realize that there was a sandwich.
The best was, like, prior to recording, V tells us about this McChicken thing. Now he's like, how does he do that?
Yeah, because I thought it was
he puts his penis.
I thought it was a nugget. Because I'm like, how do you do a nugget? Right? Like a nugget, you can't, there's no.
I mean, you guess you could like cut a hole in it or
something.
That's
what I'm saying, right? I wasn't sure. But if you cut too big a hole in it, there's no McNugget.
That's true.
Right? So it's like, you've got McNugget pieces around as you, you know. I didn't realize it was a sandwich. That was the issue, is I didn't know that this was a sandwich. I've never eaten McDonald's again.
You haven't eaten there in years.
No, I haven't eaten there in
God, what have
yeah,
we
years.
Come to? We have a fucking PhD of history here talking about fucking some dude having sex with a chicken sandwich.
I'm just saying, I'm just pointing out that we may not have known if
this
Catherine
is what
the Great.
When we take 3 weeks off.
Yeah. We may not have known if Catherine the Great did a horse, but we know
this
that the
guy
fucked a McChicken. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're entering into a different age. Yeah. It's
oh
a
God.
Different world
it
we
is.
Live in.
Yeah. Well, I sent you that little cartoon, the comic strip of the anthropologist.
Yeah.
Where he's always like, well, they use the word savage, so it means it's around the 2000 and something, right? It's like, or savage AF. Yeah. That means it was this time period, right? And this is like what modern or like the future historians have to look forward to.
It is exactly.
They said
what
it was lit, fam. That must have been.
That's
2015.
I'm telling you. Not only are we gonna, first of all, that poor person that 30 years from now is gonna be like, okay, they wrote daddy. That's clearly the 2015s, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or that person that's literally sitting there going, I really didn't need to see that. I didn't need to see the penis attacking and violating that chicken McSandwich.
After we're all long gone, right? I mean, Ali, you'll be in your phylactery or whatever, but I mean, like...
For those that don't know what he's saying, he's accusing me of being a lich.
You D&D nerds out there.
Yeah, there's a D&D joke.
There's going to be like, after our bones are dust, somehow this dude who fucked McChicken lives on.
That's what I'm...
The same way that Catherine the Great's known for fucking a horse or something.
Catherine the Great, she's got plausible deniability.
Yeah.
Like, if we asked her today, it's like, did you do... There's no evidence of it. Prove it.
Yeah.
But this guy's screwed.
Seriously.
Like the sandwich.
God, I thought we were a serious talk show.
No.
I made a mistake of inviting you on. It was downhill from there.
I've infiltrated your brain.
It was downhill from there.
I've infiltrated you. I've infested you with syphilis.
Look, I'm just saying, as a citizen of the world, I'm horrified.
Well, I mean, it could have been worse. You could have not stood up for the national anthem.
Burnley.
I think it's more offensive to people than some dude fucking a chicken.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, we've got some weird... We have weird values. We call Catherine the Great great, and she fucked a horse. But Colin Kaepernick or whatever his name is didn't stand up, and we're setting his jersey on fire.
Bro, it's so bad. So, for those of you who...
are living under a rock.
Yeah. Colin Kaepernick, who's a quarterback for...
How do you say his last name?
Kaepernick.
Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Kaepernick. There's an L in there, isn't there?
No. Colin Kaepernick. K-A-E-P-E-R-N-I-C-K.
Kaepernick.
So he didn't stand up for the national anthem. It was, I guess, last Saturday. The
49ers.
Yeah, he's a quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. He actually took them to the Super Bowl 1 year, and they lost to the Baltimore Ravens. But he's kind of like got benched towards like last season and the last season. But that's neither here nor there. Well, to some people it is. But he didn't stand up for the national anthem. And he's been doing it all preseason. Mind you, this is game three of the preseason. So finally a reporter asked him, like, hey, I noticed you didn't stand up for the national anthem this week either. Is there a reason? And he said that, you know, I'm not going to really quote him perfectly here, but basically the gist of it was that he didn't want to stand up for a country that wasn't standing up for the rights of black people, where, like, you know, like, people are getting killed in, like, great numbers by the police, and how there's still oppression and systemic racism. So that was his reasoning. And people were like, well, that motherfucker, he disrespected the troops. He went on to say, it has nothing to do with the troops. It's just, I'm upset with what's going on in this country, so I'm choosing not to stand up for the national anthem because I don't feel like this country is doing enough for its people.
Well, I mean, okay. I'm fascinated by the fact that you can't touch the Second Amendment.
Correct.
Yeah.
But you sure as hell can assault free speech.
Right?
Donald Trump says it's not free speech when the press can write what they want and he wants to sue them. People say that it's not free speech when someone decides not to stand up for the flag or doesn't salute or, you know, whatever. It's fascinating to me which amendments we put emphasis on and prioritize and which amendments we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And this is fundamentally really speaks to kind of the fragile idea that is Americanness. Americanness is deeply fragile.
Mm-hmm.
How we define American is often quite narrow. And whenever it's confronted with anything that's abnormal, we immediately react violently to it, right? So this is make America great again, right? Build a wall. Leave this. If you don't like this country, leave.
I don't get it. When Donald Trump says that this country isn't great, people praise him for it.
I know, but when the athlete says it,
it's like, get the fuck out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Donald Trump actually said if he doesn't like this country, he should go find a country where he likes. Like, he told him to leave the country, right? That's kind of a given go-to response, isn't it?
Yeah. It was a good one during the Bush administration, and I didn't see none of these motherfuckers leave.
Which is quite ironic.
Yeah.
Like, now, the people exercising the First Amendment to critique Obama are patriots. But when we were exercising our First Amendment to critique Bush, we were treasonous. I mean, I was called a traitor often. Like, it wasn't a rare occurrence. I was confronted several times. Like, you're a traitor to this country.
Here's the thing, man. These people that are upset, like, I don't get it. So I've gotten into, because I'm not one to shy from fucking battling the troll on the internet.
Or we would say that you're desperate for attention.
That too.
Either definition.
Yeah, either one works.
Either explanation is
accurate. But here's the thing. So
whatever works.
No, as you guys know and most of our listeners know, I grew up in Virginia.
Yeah.
Right? So I have a lot of friends from that area, and like, you know, they would post something like, one of my friends, Lamar, wrote, Kaepernick, thoughts. One of the first comments he got was, in all caps, by the way, in no other country did 500,000 people die to free the slaves. If he's so upset with America, 500,000 people died, Americans trying to free his people. He could go to Africa and play football there.
Oh, God.
That's how I read it. Those America, are all caps.
For the record, let's do a history lesson. America was one of the last countries to abolish slavery.
Correct.
It was one of the later countries. Britain did it way before we did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of countries did it way before we did. The Ottoman Empire did it before we did.
Yeah.
Right? The Ottoman Empire did it before we did.
The Muslims.
Right? A lot of people did it before we did. The Civil War was not fought over abolishing slavery or keeping slavery. That was one of the important aspects of it.
Yeah, it was about keeping the Union together, right?
It was about keeping the Union together. The North wasn't a bunch of liberal, you know, Americans that's like, we need to abolish slavery. While they were abolitionists and they opposed slavery, the reason they went to war was not to abolish slavery. Slavery was to be abolished legally. They went to war to keep the Union together.
Yeah.
Yes. They didn't fight for black people. They fought for the unity of America. Right? That needs to be very clear. One side fought to keep slavery intact. The other side didn't fight to dismantle it. They fought to keep the Union intact. Yes.
And here's another thing. It's like, basically, this old white man saying, because he's an old white gentleman that commented on my friend Lamar's status, and the one thing that he did put in lowercase was, love you, Lamar. Right? After he yelled everything else, he wrote, love you, Lamar, in lowercase, which I thought was pretty fun.
It was a whisper.
It was a whisper.
In his ear.
Yeah, you know, because he had to whisper because it was a black man and he was saying it too.
Yeah.
So, it's basically he's saying, listen, you goddamn N-word, we helped free you. So you sit there and be happy and you salute our national anthem.
Is what's particularly fascinating, that you want black people to be your athletes. You want to play them to play sports. You want them to entertain you, but you don't want them to have opinions.
Right.
Right. So this is what they're fundamentally saying, right? Is that this person, now I think race does a play factor. I think when white people do it, it's also a big issue. It is. But I think black athletes in particular are, because black athletes are seen as not quite American, right?
Right.
Black people are not fully, they haven't been fully integrated into the American identity enough that when black people do something that is seen as somewhat, quote-unquote, un-American, it's easy to tell them what? Go, leave. The idea, again, being that they can be, they're American so long as they entertain us, they're American so long as they're our athletes, they're American so long as our musicians are, but the second,
they have a dissenting opinion.
They have a dissenting, the fundamental core of what American is, I mean, America was literally founded on, it wasn't founded on the Second Amendment, it was founded upon a bunch of people dissenting against the tyranny of
England.
It was literally about protest, right? Yeah. The very fundamental aspect of what it means to be American, if someone who is black or a person of color expresses that, they're somehow deemed un-American.
Now, so Arian Foster, who's a running back for the Miami Dolphins, had a very informative thing to say. He's like, I've been seeing people, he's like, look, I stand up for the national anthem, but I'm opposed to the oppression that's going on in this country. And he's like, and I speak out against it. He's like, but some of the people will comment and be like, well, go back to Africa. You go to Africa then. He's like, I don't know my culture. You guys grabbed us from Africa, destroyed our roots. We don't know. He's like, I don't know if I'm from Kenya.
Well, the idea of go back to Africa is also so fundamentally ignorant. African-Americans have lived in this country just as long as white people have. Yeah. They're the oldest ethnic group in the country.
Yeah.
Yet somehow they're still seen as recent immigrants. The idea that you can say, go back. You don't say that to a white person that you disagree with.
Go back to your country.
Even though they may have some genetic ancestry in Europe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But
somehow the genetic ancestry of Africans is still relevant and prevalent as a sort of present day otherness. Mm-hmm. That somehow black people, the fact that they're from Africa still makes them other in our society. Go back to Africa. What does that mean? My aunts, my grandfather, my great grandfather, my great 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 grandfather has been American. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah.
You should read some of the tweets this guy's
making. It is quite horrible. And I think this is, it's fascinating because it is focused predominantly on black athletes. 1968 in the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Smith and John Carlos.
Fist, yeah,
they
yeah.
raised their fist, the gloved fist in a black power salute. They were kicked out of the Olympics. They were kicked out of the league. They were called traitors. Muhammad Ali. Today, we look back on Muhammad Ali and go, Muhammad Ali was a hero. Muhammad Ali stood up against the Vietnam War. He said, I would not go. And a lot of people forget because we think of Muhammad Ali as old Muhammad Ali, the old man Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And we go, oh, we think of his glorious youth as this, oh, he's such a hero.
Yeah.
People forget that during his youth, he was hated.
Yeah.
He was one of the most hated people in America mm-hmm. because he said, I'm not going to go to Vietnam and fight and kill those Vietnamese. They didn't oppress me. You oppressed me.
Yeah.
By saying that, by having the audacity to say that white people were his oppressors, people hated him. He lost in the prime of his youth, in the prime of his career. He lost career opportunities. He was regularly attacked. He was insulted. He was all sorts of things. That it's only after years and years of us toning down that we look back with hindsight and go, oh yeah, these were heroic moments, or these were historic moments. But in the heat of it, those black athletes sacrifice everything.
Check this out.
About 20 years ago, like a little less than 20 years ago, there was a basketball player named Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. He was a really good basketball player. He was what Steph Curry is now before Steph Curry was.
That means nothing to me.
Okay, so he was one of the best shooters in the league. He was a game-changing like three-point shooter. Yeah. Right? He didn't stand up for the national anthem. And due to protest, right? Mm-hmm. He got blackballed from the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's a serious thing.
It's
not accidental that these people's careers end up getting ruined.
Yeah. Mm. And it's like, so here's a lot of what I've been hearing is this chump is just trying to draw publicity because he's not playing well. And like this, and a lot of people are calling him a chump, a loser. Like, you know, he's just trying to do this for publicity. Like, I'm sorry. If you wanted to stand up for a message or sit down for a message.
Look, even if he was doing it for publicity, all protest is publicity.
True. Yeah. It's the whole point of protest.
That's literally what you're doing.
People are like, well, do something about it. You made a lot of money in your career. Go donate it. Like, okay, how do you know that he hasn't donated? How do you know that he hasn't like given like fiscal help? How do you know that he hasn't done stuff, like worked with like the local community?
And that's fundamentally because he's seen as not quite American by being black. Right? He is kind of on the margins of society. As an athlete, he suddenly goes from being heroic to being foreign. I mean, when you look at someone like John Walsh
was America's Most Wanted. Yeah.
Joe Walsh.
The former congressman.
The former congressman and...
was that the dude who had the N-word on his Facebook?
Basically saying... You've done it now, Black Lives Matter people, and Obama were coming after you.
Yeah, he was that guy. Right? Oh, okay. He's a conservative radio talk show host. He was a former congressman. He's anti-Black Lives Matter. He's anti-Obama. Says all sorts of horrific things. He actually posted on Twitter. He said, look, I don't know if those tattoos on him are from the Bible, probably from the Quran.
You call him Muhammad Kaepernick.
Yeah, Muhammad Kaepernick.
Now, I saw that. Yeah.
I retweeted it with a response of, you should probably pick up a Bible and read it. But that's not an unusual response. That's not just a crazy. Sean Hannity today floated the idea on his radio show to millions and millions of viewers. He has zero evidence, absolutely zero evidence, based on no evidence, not even circumstantial evidence, that he says this man, Colin Kaepernick, probably protested because he has converted to Islam.
Yes.
There's no evidence is Muslim.
Here is their evidence, all right? Because the Conservative Daily Post did the same thing yesterday.
Yeah.
That's where he got his news little thing from. Because I was going to bring this up. The Conservative Daily News or Daily Post posted an article about how Colin Kaepernick converted to Islam. Their source that he converted into Islam was, I just want to wish a happy Ramadan to all my Muslim followers and fans on Instagram.
Of course.
And this goes right into this idea of foreignness, right? Black people immediately are assumed to be
foreign, because Islam is considered a foreign religion, even though Islam has been one of the oldest religions in the United States, a minority religion. It's never been a majority, but it's been present since the beginning, right?
Correct.
There's always been something about Muslims that are seen as other. We see this predominantly right now with the Hillary Clinton issue with her first aide, Huma Abedin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, her right-hand woman, Huma Abedin, is a prominent Muslim-American woman. Rather than being seen as successful, and Anthony Weiner again got caught sexting, right? His dick pic yet again, third time
for the record. Husband, right?
It's her husband. Yeah. Third time, dude. Third
was
time.
Was he around any McChickens by any chance?
I don't know. Let's just say that I haven't seen the McChicken guy and Anthony Weiner in the same room together.
It's true.
So look, three times this guy's been caught. Rather than being like, "Oh, my condolences to Huma Abedin," right? Mm-hmm. She's a mom. She's a wife. She's a woman. The immediate response from the right has been two things. One, this is clearly evidence that Hillary Clinton is negligent of her emails. Anthony Weiner could have, instead of sending dick pics, could have sent emails to her. Anthony Weiner has no connections to the Clinton campaign. They're literally making it based off of the spouse of an aide, right? Yeah. Someone who has like literally no direct link. And the second response has been, well, Huma Abedin is a secret. We need to be looking closer at her. She's a threat to national security because she is part of the Muslim Brotherhood.
What?
Because all Muslims are part of this secret organization infiltrating America. So this idea of foreignness.
After you leave, me and Ali have these secret meetings about how we're going to destroy America.
Well, I walked in on one today, actually. Yeah.
Funny story, I will be actually talking and teaching about the Muslim Brotherhood in class on Thursday. So.
Oh, my God.
I'm perpetuating that clearly that stereotype.
Yep. So he does.
For the record, I'm not converting people to the Muslim Brotherhood. I am a historian teaching about
I've been to his class. He is.
The point that I'm trying to make here is that Huma Abedin is seen as foreign. Even though she's born here, she's a successful woman. She's not even seen as a woman. She's seen as a foreign agent. So when you have black people express in ways that make white people uncomfortable, they then become associated with that foreignness. The accusations of black people being Muslim is not a new thing. It's happened over and over again. And it goes right back to the idea that there are two types of black people in the world. They're the Martin Luther Kings of the world, who we hate while they're alive and who we want to die. But then when he dies, we valorize him as the good black. Mm-hmm. Then there's the Malcolm X's of the world, who make us uncomfortable and we always see as a threat to American identity. It's why Martin Luther King is taught in high school, but Malcolm X is not, right? That's the reality of it. So so it's as if black people have to walk a line.
Yeah.
If they act a certain way, they can participate in Americanness.
Yes.
But if they, heaven forbid, diverge or they show that, wait a minute, they're people too and have opinions and sometimes those opinions may be unpopular, they suddenly enter into the foreign Malcolm X territory.
Muslim.
The uncomfortable black person, right? That makes us uncomfortable.
Angry black guy.
The right? Angry stereotype. Black guy, which is particularly fascinating because the responses have been what? Predominantly angry white people, right?
Right. It's all it is. Like, I don't.
There's though been we should few... be clear that there has also been support of veterans for Kaepernick. Kaepernick has just trending all day, in which mostly veterans of color were expressing their support, saying, I may not agree with him, but I fought for
his ability to do those things.
My best friend Salvin is a Marine, right? Served, been in Iraq, been in Afghanistan, you know, like stationed in like Bahrain. He flat out was like, look, I would never do it. He's like, that flag and that national anthem means something different to me. He's like, but what I fight for is the freedom of you guys, of everyone being able to follow.
Look, I'm going to say something quite controversial here, and it's going to get me shot.
No, you're not. Right? I know what you're going to say. You said it before, and it's not that controversial.
What is it?
George Bush doesn't like black people.
Yeah, I say this quite often, right? I pose this actually in class today, and I'm not saying that they're not, but I pose the question because I don't know. I don't think I have the full answer to it, but it's the idea is that, what was the last war in which our freedoms were at stake? Maybe World War II?
No, we got into that.
Our borders were threatened. I mean,
Japan attacked our soil. So
I think that's kind of the last war where legitimately
how do we respond in terms
our freedoms were somewhat threatened. The idea of fighting for our freedom, right? I'm not
dismissing veterans. I have respect for them. I don't have any issues with the military. Yeah. I have an issue with the military apparatus, but not in soldiers, right?
Yeah.
Who I see as more often not victims of that apparatus. But what I am saying, though, is the argument of they're fighting for our freedom has almost become a dogmatic litany.
Mm-hmm.
We say it. It's meaningless. There's no actual meaning behind it because there's no... But it's filled with... it has a sort of emotional labor that it does. It's filled with sentiment. They fought for our freedom. Right?
Yeah.
We say that. This is something unique to American experience. I think American nationalism... All nationalisms have a religious function. American nationalism is almost exclusively filtered through a kind of religious lens.
Uh-huh.
The flag is a religious symbol. It doesn't matter what the flag represents. The flag represents different things to different people.
It's true.
But it's as if the symbol itself has become so imbued with sentiment and meaning that the symbol is more sacred than the concept behind it. We see this happen in iconographic works, right? Where the item is meant to represent something mystical, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's supposed to represent what's known as the imaginative sphere. This idea that there's something that exists behind the physical object that we can't grasp.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The object is a stand-in for that.
Yeah.
But to the layperson, over time, it accumulates a different meaning. The behind meaning disappears.
Yeah, and the object itself becomes sacred. Itself
becomes sacred.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And
man.
It accumulates over time. We see this in saint worship. We see this in shrines. We see this in relics. The flag has done the same thing in American politics. Yeah. The meaning behind the flag is almost gone. Because you can't say, if you don't like it, leave. Literally, the flag says, if you don't like it, guess what? You're American. That's what the meaning of the flag is.
Right.
But the meaning is gone. The flag itself is sacred. The same thing with the military, right? The military themselves have become, and the veterans have become, a cult of heroes, right? In the same way that the Greeks have Heracles and Theseus and these kind of famous heroes. And then not just ancient Greeks, all religions have them. In Christianity, you have St. Sebastian, you have St. Martin. These people who are literally heroes that die and then become part of the myth of the country. In our country, we have, in the United States, it's the veterans.
Yeah.
So the meanings have started to disappear. They're now starting to be meaningless. But we repeat the aphorisms and sayings because the object has more potency than the idea.
Here's the thing. The people that are pissed off about Colin Kaepernick not standing up and saying he's disrespecting our troops, where the fuck are you to be mad at Congress when Congress cuts funding for like veterans, like GI bills and their assistance with healthcare?
But that's exactly what I'm saying, right? They're not actually talking about literal veterans.
It's the idea of it.
It's the symbol of the veteran.
Because they don't give a shit about the veterans. One out of every four like homeless person is a veteran. 22 vets kill themselves every single day. And that's literally, like, I can't make this
the
shit
VA
up.
Happens to be quite defunct. It doesn't work very well. People are long lines. They don't.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is
and
your
they
anger
vote for
there?
The people who defund the VA.
And
yeah.
consistently, the people who say that they support the veterans are also voting in politicians who have consistently cut the VA. I mean, Jon Stewart calls out the issue of the first responders and the veterans quite significantly, and they are overwhelmingly who? Republican. Now, that doesn't mean the Democrats are much better.
No.
I'm not a fan of the Democrats in general, right? I find them to be spineless cowards. But consistently, Republicans have defunded the veterans. They're very big on military spending. They're not very big on what happens to the military after they've done
it. Give them the money
tours.
When they're killing things, you know?
So as a result, this goes right back to what I was saying, right? That it's the object becomes more important than the actual meaning.
I don't know, man. There's
so we enter into this realm of some, you know, semiotics, symbolism, and that symbolism is more.
It's
important.
Also fucking selective patriotism,
it's,
bro.
It's not just selective. It's dogmatism.
Super, it's super selective. Where the
it's
the
not.
Fuck are these?
The thing is, it's not selective patriotism. It's dogmatism. It's a form of nationalism that narrowly defines what it means to be American.
But where?
So if we find the same thing happen in religions, if a person says that they are a practicing Christian but they're a fornicator. Christians will say you're not a Christian.
Uh-huh.
If a Muslim drinks or smokes, other Muslims say you're not a real Muslim. We do this. We define people because dogma can be binding. we define people and define the identities in very limited, narrow fashions. So that's why American nationalism is dogmatism. It's not selective patriotism. Selective patriotism would be better because at least there's something you're upholding as sacred.
Yeah.
It's dogmatism. It's used as a means of making other people feel un-American.
Well, there's nothing, there's really no actual logic behind it either. It's more so, I feel like it's more so them projecting their own personal insecurities. And if you notice also, it's like these things only work when you simplify the issue down to a point where it no longer is the issue anymore. Like, it takes a simple mind to only grasp the most simplest form of it.
It's a type of dogmatism that is used only when other people are doing something you don't like.
Yeah, like
it's not about, I mean, if it was patriotism of any type, mm-hmm. it would be fundamentally productive.
Yeah, like,
because patriotism is meant to create solidarity. It's meant to be productive. So patriotism would be what? Would be those same people complaining about Colin spending times at the VA. Would be donating their money, would be doing all these various different, because that's what patriotism is, right? Patriotism, whether good or bad, is productive. It creates social solidarity. Mm-hmm. Dogmatism is about definitions that allow you to exclude.
Yeah. Oh, it's all about, separating people.
That's
the
difference. Patriotism is inclusion. Dogmatism is exclusion. And that's what we're seeing here. When you have people doing the Black Power salute, who later on said they were doing a human rights salute, when you have people like Muhammad Ali, who says that he's not going to serve, and when you have Colin Kaepernick, who said, I said it right this time, he said that. Colin Kaepernick, who says he's not going to stand up. Those are opportunities for us. Those are opportunities where these people can now go, you're not American.
You know, there's a picture of Dylann Roof burning an American flag. No one seemed to say anything bad about him.
It annoys other than
the shooting thing. But, you know, like, other than that. But
it annoys the fuck out of me that these guys are so upset with him not standing up for national anthem, but they don't give two shits when some fucking hillbilly redneck in Mississippi calls President Obama a monkey and the N-word and, like, claims that his wife is a man and, like, will sit there and call all sorts of names to the fucking president's children. Like, where's your anger there? Where's your, like, why are you disrespecting our commander-in-chief? Like, he's the fucking commander-in-chief of the military. Like, where's your outrage there? Fucking people that are claiming that this is disrespectful to the military.
Yeah.
You know, what's particularly fascinating, too, is how, and you could see how these symbols have become sort of lost. So one of the things that Americans get very angry about is flag burning, right? Mm-hmm. So this guy obviously didn't do that. He just didn't stand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was also an issue in the recent Rio Olympics where Gabby Douglas didn't put her hand over. She stood in military boots, whatever.
But she didn't think that she had.
No, she did. Right. It was a kind of just a misstep, and it was a big issue, right? So but one of the big kind of symbols is flag burning. Like, oh my God, if someone burns a flag, it's a big deal. What's particularly ironic is that decommissioning flags and disposing flags traditionally is done by a what?
Burning.
Burning them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some just bullshit hypocrisy.
It just kind of shows you that it comes down to not what the meaning is. It doesn't come down to what the values are. It comes down to the object and how to use that object to exclude other people. So this has been a crazy podcast.
Yep.
We kind of talked about everything from travel to
ping pong shows.
Yeah.
McChicken fucking
to Catherine the Great.
To Colin Kaepernick.
We should also mention that by the time you're hearing this podcast, Donald Trump will have given his immigration speech, and he will have traveled to Mexico to meet with the president of Mexico. So we'll have an update for you about that
next week,
because I think it's going to be big news. We'll see what happens as the race tightens and we get closer and closer to the debates and then the election. So Diz, why don't you take us out?
Yes, sir. You can find us everywhere at Facebook.com/currentlynerdy. That's not everywhere. That's on Facebook. Go on there, like our page, make your friends like us. You can catch us on the tweets at currentlynerdy. Hashtag of the week this week is
McChicken.
No.
No. I don't want to look sift through that. Hashtag V's ping pong show.
No. No.
No. He's so defeated when he's just like, no.
Hashtag Ali's ping pong show?
No.
I don't know, man. Fucking figure it out and then tweet us and make your own hashtag this week. We're on the Instagrams, currently nerdy on Instagram. Follow us. Like our pictures. Make your friends follow us. Share our pictures. Write some comments. Make V feel that he's special. Currently Nerdy is on Tumblr as well. Currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Go on there. Follow us. Reblog. Write some notes. All that good shit. We're on the YouTubes. That Arya in the Faceless Men videos gaining some traction. Go on there and watch that. Watch the Danny and John video. Watch Brexit. It's a good video.
Yeah, give Brexit some love.
Brexit was a good video.
Give Brexit some love.
I was drunk. It was great.
Give that poor video some love.
Yes.
Yeah, I brought up Brexit. Someone asked about Brexit today in class.
Did you tell them to go watch it on YouTube?
No, I didn't. But I did explain what Brexit was.
And get us on iTunes. Go on there. Currently Nerdy. Rate, review, subscribe. Give us some 5-star ratings. We got a 5-star rating for one of my coworkers. Thank you, Jaxie Waxie. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can.
V,
tell them how they can get a hold of you.
Royce, you can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. You can also find me on Twitter or Instagram at vtran214. That's VYTRAN214. Ali?
You can catch me on my website at aliolomi.com, aliolomi.com. I just recently published a book review with the International Journal of the Europe. Wait, what is it? The International Journal. The International Journal on the History of European Expansion and Global Interaction.
That's why you couldn't remember.
Yeah, it's a long ass names. I wrote a review of Goran Kolost's Global Rectificatory Justice. If you're interested in things like colonialism, reparations, stuff like that, go check out the review. It's really cool.
Internment camps.
You can also catch me on Twitter at AAOLOMI, where I'm mostly harassing Donald Trump. Diz.
You can find me everywhere at Dizbullah, DizBullah. Send me some snaps, fools.
For everyone here currently nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, even if you don't stand up for the national anthem.